improving, some of the improvements of biology, the last book we've been mentioning in the executive meeting. How exactly do they put the book share? Natural therapy is some very good therapy for the portable chair. There are those guidelines for the portable chair, half of which or some of it must be paid for counselors, others to assist the poorest of the poor. We are experiencing also a recession. There are rates that is going up, and this portable chair money can also be used to assist the poor. They're also much plausible with the budget of the department with the various problems. There are two problems left, and what is lacking in the report also is the problem that they are experiencing in their various respective provinces. I can take you, for instance, to the northern case. Between Upperton and Tata, there's a place called Tarikstown. People are fetching water there from the river. They are purifying the water with bleach and chicks. I can take anyone out there and I won't show them. On the border of Limpopo and Mpumalanga, there's a place called Kulifan Bridge or close to Freedom Tunnel. People are using water, they're eating from the river, they drink from the river, they wash in the river, just close to Freedom Tunnel. I want to know. The problem that the department experience, can we deal with it so that we can know where the areas of problem or the problems are? Are they coming here to just tell us we experienced this and we solved this obstacle? We experienced this and we solved that obstacle. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Except that you don't have an hour to give to them to do that. I thought that what you were providing was broad strategy for dealing with it. Gloria and the gentleman at the back.
I think that it's such an important subject that we need it much longer to be dealing with it. But I think in this country, water is such a care to the and I want to refer to the third of water that never reaches the end user. And the problems, on the one hand, we've got infrastructure, aging parks and things like that, and I'm very pleased to say that we've got some very good projects on the go where we are replacing education is one of those. But on the other hand, you've got our informal settlements and there with illegal connections. I would just like to know what the percentage is with our relation to other directions and others, but and how the department perhaps been related to municipalities of just coming up with some innovative ideas as to how to deal with those problems of the illegal connection. So I think that it's a big problem. And the third is a huge amount for us to be preserving. I know you're looking at me. I just want to also say that as being part of human settlement portfolio committee, the sanitation is now going to fall under human settlement. And you may or may not be able to answer this, but I just want to know how sanitation comes across, coming across the skill, but what the water situation is going to be. You've got a situation without water, and I don't think that's something you can do, but I would be interested. The other question I want to just ask as far as environmental issues go, I think this is one of the most difficult things for our people to understand, and that is related to, there's an open piece of land we want to put houses there, and we don't understand the wetlands and the importance of the environment. And as soon as you talk about sensitive environments, they go up in arms. So what is the education program that we have in place so that people do understand the importance of this? And I want to be just test a bit of a light on that. You know, I just want to quickly, bullfrogs, you know, when you're preserving our bullfrogs, which is a terribly important thing. Now, I want to say that our monitoring system with the environment departments are very good, because some states are building a pipeline between Joburg and Durban, and the bullfrog is found there, and it's the fourth. We have a monitoring facility from the environment department, and they have to be responsible to that. So I think it's very important, it's critical that we do look after our environment like that. I've got some other stuff here.
Thank you very much. The bullfrog won't get the attention you want if you go on at this stage. Just 10 seconds.
I'm sorry, but there are just two things I want to raise, which I think are very important for the protest argument.
Yeah.
He just relates to the 3 days that was asked for me. People would argue that the constitutional issues of the poor are not going to pay for before they can collect the water and to be rich. You allow them to use water in the second is with regard to the water board restriction that they are running the water for managing this water. And at some point when these are higher on that they can no longer buy the output in the water. So both of these professors out there are on this thing which is in the water. But we are doing this, I won't bring up people that the government is actually in the city. And the program for the report. And I think the rest will share the response and the rest of the.
Thank you very much. That's very crisp. Except that the last comment, there will not be any answer all questions. I'm going to stop with you that you may attend. We have, I'm sorry, to whom I had this note and the minister, this is the year of the minister. We haven't had to talk about it, a campaign or something. Parliament and the villages and residents in this state are not examples of water harvesting, recycling, cleaning. How can you persuade anybody in the rest of the country that this is the lines and the routes to go? Members of Parliament, staff, are not examples, they are not examples of those sort of things. So how can you persuade anybody that? This is the way to go, that they are convinced this is a problem. There is a slight problem with environmental impact assessment and how often they are attacked for causing the air. Often the different issues. Some of our fears that some of those attacks may lead to them not being done at all in the name of so-called development. Now, and at the expense of often poor communities. These are the consequences of unconducted environmental impact assessment. Those are the questions that I have here. Other questions, leave it there. Can you summarize rather than 2 or 3 that you respond? We will expect you to invite you to respond to that so that we include them in our position and so give that to every member of the committee so that we move to the next meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll take it one. And my team will take the 2001. On the International Year of Biodiversity. Yes, I will be addressing.
Okay.
On the International Year of Biodiversity, we did launch the year on Monday, and there are a number of teams for all the months. We are going to be very visible in terms of what advantages are there for the society to access them. But we're also aiming to use it as an awareness campaign so that South Africa will lead with some understanding of the importance of the fauna and flora and the need for us to manage it in the context of sustainable development. The EIA, I'm very tempted to respond a little bit longer there. Because I think your point is very important. It speaks to the balance that we always need to be looking at when it comes to the relationship of development and environmental conservation. It's a very tricky one to maintain, but it was this. That's a very important one. We are the custodians. Every department of both. We want to see development, but we want to see sustainable development. We want to see an environment that is well managed so that it doesn't impact on the community. But more often than not, the delay that is spoken to relates to the difficulty in taking decisions because you are looking at what is in the middle, that will satisfy both ways for food. I'm not going to delay you, Chair, but I will talk to the provision enough water and water cut and all of the people that have asked us questions. The Constitution provides that or says that water access is a constitutional right to all productions. So we have a responsibility of government, as government, to ensure that all participants have access to clean water to work. Even if people do not pay or have problems to pay their bills, there's what is called a fiscal system. You don't close completely the water in the water system. But unfortunately, some of these things, as I had alluded to, the issue of supply and service of water is a constitutional mandate of local government. So we are not there when we push off. We supply to service water board. All of them have no right to push off completely. But the fiscal system is what supplies and fiscal is not used. The one other important issue which I want to respond to, desalination is in the pipeline already to study. There is a national water resource strategy, which is an overall strategy of dealing with all the challenges that we have in water. And desalination is mentioned there that when all is said and done, South Africa being one of the 35 countries in the world, when we come to a situation where there is a serious problem, we will resort to for me, it's not only about anything. I think we underestimate the impact of population increase on our water resources. Because while the population is increasing, the water quantity remains the same. So there is a scramble of the same quantity of water by a higher number of people. I think it's the biggest challenge also that we have. So what I meant is that the I won't want to talk to that, but it is with us, we are dealing with it, we are bringing policy, parliament is surely involved in that process. But we are not at risk for all other countries, why is the vulnerability of all other countries? Let me leave it. Well, on the sea, because there's another interesting issue we will expand on this one. Zimbu within the pipeline. I don't know about Bajan. We'll still find out, but Zimbu will come there. But only climate change and the sea is very important. One other problem that we are dealing with is the issue of lake water, untreated water flowing into our river from the municipalities. The wastewater that comes from municipalities, without it being treated, it is sometimes allowed to go to the sea. That creates a problem that it leads to the sea. So there is a needed integrated approach to dealing with such a problem. Municipalities must be involved, water affairs must be involved, and the radar affairs must be involved, and we're trying to work in that direction, especially. And to say to appeal to you, you are true departments. You are depriving yourself a wealth of information that you don't have. Because we welcome this opportunity of talking to you, but both departments are very important. In future, please accommodate that in your time and future.
Yes,
even
the true of you who we wanted to hear so much. Thank you very much, we appreciate that you're coming. The Department of Social Development is here.
The rest of the questions we will forward to you.
We appreciate
it. The report of the provinces, we have not yet completed the new legislation. We are still visiting two, that is currently in the Kine Nata Water Fund, and then the report will be compiled from that. So please,
if you want to progress,
don't tell me.
Good morning, members. First, I apologize that I'm in my office. I'm very angry on the acting director general. Without the minister. The minister is doing technical issues in the moment. I've been asked and coming to the mail to the cathedral and the church of the cathedral. We've got a long presentation table.
No, there's no way to tell you.
What I was trying to do is not speak to each of the slides, but that just to speak to the right mind. The key issue that we want to talk about is some of the ministries and the departments in the world. And we say they break down the municipality, but I'll explain how, why that is difficult for the department and the challenges that we need to talk about. And that leads to a discussion on some of the key challenges in the current system of service delivery. And our contrast, for example, the difference in our level of control and contact through SACA, which is a national agency, and how that's different from working through the provincial departments with respect to health services and community development. And then just briefly talking about some of our interventions to circumvent the system in making sure that we actually reach our client base more. Just in brief, I'll talk about the strategic stance of the department, because I think that's an important one. Essentially, the department has two approaches. On the one hand, it doesn't deal with the problems that people experience now. So when people still have access to income, to meet their needs, we've got to make sure that for those who qualify, we get cash transfer. If you can experience problems with substance abuse, we're going to deal with those issues now as people experience it. So we basically deal with all the social ills that are common, that accompany a lack of social cohesion and poverty. But at the same time, we've also got to look at what are the systemic issues that give rise to these issues in the first place, so that we can begin to put in place preventative programs. Now, some of the well-placed services, that may be easy enough, but when it comes to issues of income poverty throughout the political, because they are then dependent on the rest of the government system and society as a whole. So I think that's the important point in terms of strategic time. The way we deliver services in the National Department of Social Development is, and before we talk about the social sector, our biggest budget item is the social transfer system, the cash transfer. And that will be delivered through our agency, which is the South African Social Security Agency. It's a national agency, which was established in 2006, accountable to the minister and the department of oversight of it. But we also have a very close strategic relationship with SACA in the sense that they are responsible for the operational budget, but the actual 90 billion that goes to households still come through the department. So, we have a very important relationship with the We then provide the office services and what we call community development services, and that we do in partnership with the crowdfunding. In terms of office services, and I think that is important to the subject of this, is that the bulk of our services are carried out through NGOs and CDOs, which means that through the transfers we give them and the services they deliver, our service delivery agents, in a sense, are located in as many of the services as possible. Where there are NGOs that we can have to the service delivery component from social development. So that does not necessarily mean an active partnership with the municipality. In terms of service delivery to a municipality, in terms of the service delivery to municipalities, our systems are not typically there to provide municipal, for example, the kind of basic this kind of committee. In fact, it's a problem in the sense that we can't really get this data from the provinces as to what are the conditions in the district, what are the client spaces that they have in the district. That kind of information we can get from NGOs, but we can't get that from the municipality. That is something that we need to talk about in terms of the organization of the state in relation to providing welfare services. So we have been tracking though actively throughout, we also have, in the department of the Chief Director of Population Development, and they actively involved together with the community development and branch in IDP of processes at local level. So that's something that we do through partnerships with our colleagues in COPTEC. Such as grant applications, and again, the SAFTA issue is to find a lot more direct control. The application process is geared towards meeting people, identifying people as the most local and using geographic information systems. Some of the provinces use what we call a social development management information system. We track our plans. And this is a new system. So for example, if somebody is getting a social grant, they are located in the municipality, we will then look at the Indian register to see whether there's a correlation between our database and the. So surely if people are in the Indian register, they should be qualifying for social assistance. And if they are in the Indian register, that means there's a whole lot of lack. That we may be thinking about that we need to provide integrated services. Each of the provinces uses the what we call the FDA system for how things using a different system, which is possibly better but more expensive. It's a lot more expensive. It's called the Supertela Capital Relationship Management System, and there it's better able to integrate how they provide integrated services to a particular client. And when I say integrated services, it doesn't just mean social development. We will then bring in housing to assess whether if a child is on our system, stop for any different child and they see a school program, and how they are able to do that day to day. Because we're quite concerned about inadvertently cross subsidizing other departments within government as well, where they provide social assistance for children of police officers. That's something that we're looking at over a period of time. Just in terms of some of the numbers, we've got 13 million beneficiaries who receive social grants, and this number is increased by 16.16% from December 2006 to December 2009. By far the biggest growth is in fact in the services provided to children, you can see. 20%. The percentage is under high, but in actual numbers, the actual real numbers. And in the presentation, it's going to say there's a real number there. So that's quite a big jump in terms of the numbers of people accessing social the defect control. I'm not sure, I'm not going to go through this, this is just a detail in the summary. And we've also got a link to looking at the agenda breakdown of this, which is going to take a lot of time. But just to say that generally there's a female bias in who receives sex transfer, both in terms of caregiver of children and also some of the other aspects. The other issue that we work on or talk about is materially. In budget terms, small agency, which is the National Development Agency, if you think that stuff is an admin budget of 5 billion, and we just built 90 billion through that per annum, this agency, which is responsible for supporting and strengthening civil society, and also at some point beginning to support organized people who want to engage in community development projects, has a budget of normally about 40 million, but it's now down to 80 million for the coming financial year. So the important entities are the same, and they will be all in that province as well. So I think the detail of the specific things are actually the social challenges. So I think we have summarized what we've done. These are just the details of what we do. I don't know if it's a good thing to do. The challenges in the current system of credit is the one is that our mindset is extensive. What talks about poverty, unemployment, when they are failure in the private sector, in your job losses, when you have failures in the economy to actually pull people into meaningful employment, we are in place with the issue of income poverty and we have to deal with it. So we find that there is a growing mandate for the bank, and that is why we will always be coming to cabinet committee meetings that the bridges are for more money, but same. Our social assistance program, for example, because we are constitutionally bound to provide to those who don't mean to qualify. So that's only one way around just the scope of our mandate. We are responsible in the sector community development practices. We've got a budget of about 300 million, so there's about 20 billion rand in the governance system for community development through every department. So as government, we've got an uncoordinated approach to community development. We're doing a bit. The COPTA is doing a bit. Human settlements is doing a bit. But we haven't really got a coordinated approach to dealing with the issue of community development. And I think that's a challenge to do. We are in all going to communities trying to do a small piece of work. So that in fact, if we've got that level of budget available within the public sector, let's look at the way of coordinating that. What we have done is pull together all of those departments in a discussion. Now, those kinds of discussions are collegiate discussions in the sense we are encouraging each other to work together. But at some time, I think we need to look at the systemic levels of cooperation beyond the cluster system, because the cluster system does not always lend itself to integrating those services. What we found, and this is through a program that we've got around customer care, I'll talk about that a bit more, is that generally a lack of information on government by community. We've got a community development worker, we've got DCIS, but we found that there was a lack of understanding when we did surveys by communities and what it is they should expect from ourselves. And what we've done is, as a sector, produce a customer care booklet, which we're disseminating. But we're also looking at other ways of discriminating. So the people know what each other are, not the state from our language. Perhaps one of the key issues is that there's poor infrastructure and capacity at local service points. And when I talk about local service points, it's people don't interface with the department in the building. People don't interface with us, even a provincial resources. Where people access our services has its local opportunities. This is basically important. Now, our local offices, and we've done it in our customer care strategy with the Eastern Cape, with some of the other provinces, and we found that the infrastructure is extremely important. We deliver services from makeshift offices. But more importantly, we also found that in the way we are organized is that our least skilled and least capacitated staff are located in spaces where we interface with people in need of services. Now, with CASA rating changes, we can begin to talk about CASA and talk about at the local office level, we need a different staffing level, we need a different system, and we can control that. With the provinces, we can agree on the priorities about changing that, but we can't really enforce it. Because they're technically, in terms of the government system, the HODs are accountable to the NEC, which is accountable to the premier. So when we come at Linux, there's really a collegiate atmosphere, but there's no enforceability. And that is something that we need to look at, because we're talking about service delivery where people experience our services, and that's at the municipal level. And that's where it's most weak. At the district level, at the municipality level, I don't know about other services in government, but I know, and social development is very concerned about that. That we can make it almost non-existent. And we operate through NGOs. So the experience of government by poor people who need services in a dignified manner is compromised by the way they're organized. That's something we're not just mentioning it as a challenge, we're not dealing with it, we're actually dealing with it now. Perhaps those who spoke to it do that a little bit more detail. So what we have developed is a human capital and customer care strategy. Now the human capital strategy isn't just looking at how many staff members do we need. We're looking at how do we get the right staff members to the point where we need to interface with our clients. What we find is that you've got a whole host of capacity at the national level, not just chief directors, doing policy development at national level. What you find, you go to the provincial level, you find almost in meridian what's happening at national level to a certain extent. And then what happens at local level is that we will not stop. And we develop even capital strategies that suggest a change to that, so that they actually take staff to the district and local office level. And that's about getting clients, we're putting in clients the best possible service that we can. The implication here is that Parliament has this left to have a serious discussion about how we would organize national prevention and local practices. What we can do is suggest those things, but we really can't implement those things. It's about people accepting them and implementing them. What we are suggesting is that nationally, in our case, in the campus of another department, is that at national level we begin to focus on policy development, and out of those policies and laws, develop the services that we need to deliver, and then ensure that the services are delivered at district level with support from provinces, and with the self-certification. So I just wanted to say that is our approach. One of the issues that we've got is we made mandate, and what we call the technical mandate, which is the head of social development, meetings, we made them accountability forum, where at the 40 basis, head of social development and NEC support to the minister on the three sector priorities. And I think that's a big reason that we've actually gotten three sector priorities with indicators that people are accountable to at the social basis. But I must say again, it's the region, it's an agreement made by the minister and the NEC that it's not enforceable. The same with the DG and the Head of Social Development. They do it, and they do it well, but it's not something that is enforced. But it's happening. So I think that's one of the ways we see it work to change that. And then we've also got our rural ICROP, which is a city center, rural hospice program where sort of SACRA, we've got 40 mobile vehicles we invite other departments who are commentaries, yeah, and others to work with us to actually go out in the community. Our primary aim is to register the people for social class, but then we also crowd in other issues, documentation, drama, space, if they're with other people in social welfare services, if they have health issues. So that's been working reasonably well. I think the numbers that we've reached so far is about 300,000. So today, just to come to the concluding remarks, and I may have said all of this already. The national department has more control of our services of the environment, with respect to grant revenue, and we have that because the national agency. We can influence how they work, in terms of creating work with the new directive. We have the services and community development, development critical, and as I said, we have made our mandate in a paper social development meeting, a council forum, for the technical plans and corporate support. But on the whole, national prevention and district realignment is needed, and as I said, the objective always has been to be that how we push the resources to where we really interface with plans.
Thank you very much. Let's move straight to health. Do what you advise the personal development to do, right? Same advice applies to DC. Let's engage them.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and Honorable members of the Annual Committee. We definitely are focused on soft services, so we are trying to cut that. Can I extend the apologies of the minister, who's also in the same cabinet with me, and ask for those apologies from the table. I have with me the Chief Director for Strategic Planning, Lana Blair, and the Acting Chief Director for Hospital Services, Mr. Lina, and the Director for Primary Health Care, as well as our Financial Liaison Officer. I'm not going to go to all the studies. I'm Karen Kennedy, the acting DG for health. I'm not going to go to all the slides. The focus has been mainly on the service deliverables at the district health level. And so, with your permission, you've got the presentation that I'll stick to the faculty of this slide. Just to put into context, a number of members would know already that our program of action is based on what we call a 10-point plan.
Sorry, Chair,
Yes.
I don't think we do that
Okay.
changes that were sent about a week ago. The first slide, we just added a thing, so that won't be in the presentation. But we thought it would be useful just to just come into the one of our program of action around these 10 points. And we'll also touch on some of the challenges that we have asked us to look at. So the first point is the whole issue of providing strategic leadership and the creation of a social compact to get the health outcome. Amongst the key aspects that have emerged as a challenge is the stewardship role and leadership that is played within the health sector. And so that's a key point that we are looking at. The second is the implementation of National Health Insurance Plan, and I'm not going to go into details. Again, members are aware that there is a ministerial advisory committee working on the issues of the framework for the National Health Insurance Plan, including the policy and the legislation. The third point in our 10-point program is improving the quality of services. Again, this is an issue that you'll be talking about, because one of the key challenges facing the health system is the quality of the services, both at the hospital level and at the district and primary healthcare level. I won't be going into detail, but there are a number of initiatives, including the setting up of standards and norms in order to improve the quality of services. The fourth is overhauling the healthcare system and improving its management. Time again, what has emerged is the poor management of the health services. And one of the key initiatives is looking at the qualifications of both hospital qualifications and competency of hospital managers as well as district management teams. So there's a whole initiative in order to look at that. The other key challenges around human resource management and both the retention, the recruitment of human resources, improving on the vacancy rate, but also importantly the whole issue of attitudes of staff and this is linked to our policy initiative. The sixth aspect is around the revitalization of physical infrastructure, and I'm not going to go into too much of detail here, but this is a key aspect, not just for hospital services, but also for primary healthcare services. The seventh is around the implementation of the HIV and AIDS plan and reduction of mortality due to TB and associated diseases. The eighth point in the program is mass mobilization to get a health score for the population, and that's a key aspect in the service delivery, especially for primary health care, and looking at community involvement in health. The last two then relate to a review of our drug policy and research and development. So that's basically what is our priorities for the health sector according to the 10-point plan that has been adopted by cabinet. We then specifically focused on the issue of primary health care and the district health system. We're well aware that we have adopted the district health system as a vehicle for the delivery of primary health care services. And we've just been in the discussion of a bit of the history when we have developed the national policy on district health system. Just to say that we now entrenched this in our National Health Act, so a whole chapter is dedicated to the development of the district health system. And we've made sure that we've made our whole district health system fit in with the boundaries of district municipalities. In the National Health Act, and again I'm not going to go into detail, we've called for the development of or the establishment of district health councils together with the development of district health plans for each of our districts. But this is all background we've also developed norms and standards, what we call a primary health care package for comprehensive and integrated primary health care. And we've been using this approach over the last 10 years. Our model of service delivery is through the, let me make it clear that it's the delivery of health care is across all three tiers of government, with the province and with local government, and that the foundation is our third district health system. Our primary health care facilities distribute to refresh the home plan is two community health centers, six clinics, mobile clinics, and health posts. We've also got a system of working with community health workers employed by NGOs, some of them are employed by the health sector, and this is an area that we're looking at strengthening so that we can strengthen our whole community-based approach of healthcare. I'm going to skip through these slides tell you exactly what are the services that are rendered at the primary healthcare level, and it's quite extensive, so you can look at it in the slides. The services are delivered through a range of provincial primary healthcare facilities, and as you're aware that in 1994, we first had free primary health care for children under 5 and pregnant mothers, and that has now been extended to free primary health care at all facilities. So the provincial primary health care facilities provide a much more comprehensive range of services. The municipality is a limited package, but it also creates a point of service. And we have very limited involvement of the private sector in the delivery of primary health care, and that's out-of-pocket payments for most people who use the private sector. I've given you details of the hours of delivery, and I won't go through all of that. The plan with regards to primary health care is we planning that during this financial year we'll be auditing all primary health care facilities and the package of essential services. The audit will focus on both the infrastructure, the package, and the staffing that we deliver the package of primary health care services. So we basically, the audit will look at where are our gaps with regards to infrastructure, which are the clinics that will need to be revitalized, where are problem areas with staffing. The audit will inform the future delivery model. So we will review that package that's currently being delivered. Again, I'm not going to go through all of the details. We've got the deliverables for both primary health care and district health system. The number of district health plans that we have developed, the number of road plans that are linked to the integrated development plans in the district, and we also looked at the community involvement, the number of districts with established health councils. So we've given you what is our target, what we've achieved. We've looked at the primary health care facilities where committees are established, and the number of districts are implementing community-based health services frameworks. I won't go through the details because I'm trying to rush this technology project. We've commented on the integrated service delivery model. So we're working together closely with a number of the other departments, and we've given you details of the rural nodes and where we are working then omni integrated service delivery model. Okay, others, this is the background information to how those nodes will be chosen. Maybe just turning to some of the achievements with regards to primary health care. The decision has been taken that there will be provincialization of all primary health care services. And no municipality will deliver personal primary health care except for the metro. So, and that's currently in operation. We're looking at the whole care, and that's what we should be ordered to revitalize primary health care services in order to improve access and coverage. I need to stress that the primary health care approach is one of the cornerstones of the department's policy. And we believe that we really need to concentrate on revitalizing primary health care and strengthening the primary level of care. Because, Honorable Chair, I mean, one of the issues is that if you've got a strong primary health care foundation, you would then reduce the need for referrals to the hospitals, and especially the regional and tertiary hospitals. And we've always maintained that the strong foundation of primary health care should be the base of the pyramid with less emphasis on curative care. That would be preventing a lot of ill health if we have to concentrate on that. There are other achievements that we've have also achieved with the development of this fixed management handbook that has been used by district managers, the development of district management teams. Okay, I don't want to go through all the other achievements shared for a minute. Just to turn now to some of the new initiatives that will improve service delivery. We've got what is called an 18 district project. And the aim of the project is to, within those districts, the overall primary health care to, as an indicator, to reduce stress from the hospital outpatient department. And we're also looking at the new plan for the implementation of the district health system within those districts. And as part of the initiative, to look at empowering district management teams to ensure that they have got delegations in order to effectively manage the district. We chose the 18 districts through looking at the deprivation index and together also looking at their performance on the MDG program. And then out of that, we said these are the priority districts. We've given you the names of those 18 districts that we currently concentrating on. And what we're going to be doing within those districts is to consolidate the health service development and strengthen the health system. We are focusing on a number of different programs. So for example, with the MDG, you know that we are being monitored with regards to maternal mortality, and under fire mortality and HIV and AIDS prevalence. And out of that, we pick those districts where we know that the maternal mortality ratio is way too high, and then we developed a plan in order to turn around and reduce the number of deaths from maternal mortality, child mortality, etc. I've also indicated that we're looking at the delegation of functions to those district managers in order to ensure that there's effective management. We also concentrating them on a very effective referral policy and referral pathways just ensure the seamlessness of delivery of services between the hospital and the district management system. Just to also touch on the challenges in the current system for service delivery that we've asked that specifically. One of the key challenges is the impact on poverty and the enhance poor health services, and we need to make sure that our services match the demand. I've spoken about the issue around human resources, an aspect that we are looking at trying to solve. How do we get the integrated planning framework strengthened? I mean, because that needs to help, because in health, the intersectoral approach is extremely important, because there's other departments that have a greater impact on health than such as water, sanitation, electricity, adequate housing, the social development, all of that have an impact on health, and including economic development as well as literacy. We know, for example, that mothers' literacy rates directly impact on child mortality, and that's well known globally. The other aspect relates to the management and operational capacity, the management support systems within the whole health sector. I've spoken around delegation, and the key aspect is how do we improve access as well as improve the quality of services. Another key aspect is we're looking at the integration of services so that we don't have different silos where you've got, for example, the prevention of mother-to-child transmission program in a particular clinic, and in order to get antenatal care, you have to go to another clinic. So we're looking at how we integrate those services. We're looking at the patients getting treated for HIV. How do you also ensure that these services are integrated? Because at the moment they're separate, and yet we know almost 70% of the very positive individuals also have TB. So the integration of services will be extremely important. Some of the recommendations, and this is not exhaustive, is recommending that integrated planning and accountability must be mandated for all departments. The whole issue of delegation of authority to ensure effective management. I've spoken again about the social determinants of health. I've mentioned housing, but I've got to mention growth and transport, because again, a large proportion of our mortality is due to road accidents as well as intentional injuries. So what other departments do, again, would impact on health. And the whole issue of building up capacity to ensure effective services. Thank you, Jesse. You've got the rest of the slide.
Thank you very much. Members,
Questions?
Yes, we've got two presentations done now. We are in the time. Let's take on the two presentations. Quick question, comment. Social development. According to the Demarcation Act, all government departments are supposed to grow their service delivery follow the Minister of Health. No exception to the current president of court. And I haven't heard your department mention the other related issue is the question of information. I assume that you're participating in the process to determine what debt must be collected. That's work that's been done by the monetary evaluation. So, that's what we said. And I think the issue of community development, as you point out, is a crucial one. We've been raising this issue about the, for example, provision for public participation. but the law provides for common facilities. So in a sense, we haven't quite done a coordinated assessment of that, including how we can best get best results out of this. This was just my initial comment around this. Any questions? Remember? Let me start at the back then. And then Baba or Kuru very clear to down again and go. Yes, there's no other way.
There's just one thing that has come from the Israel. We've spoken about the IT yesterday. We've spoken about integrated services from yesterday, some of the innovations again today. That it might be mandatory for all departments. Now when you look at municipalities, there are problems in getting the IT together. And this is the same time as through various departments you have the same problem. Because one of the things that we also picked up is that systems don't speak to one another with the various departments. And I think this is a starting point as well where we should be working from. Because if our systems talk to one another, I think a lot of our problems would be addressed through that. And just one of the things that I wanted to from social welfare side is again, on overtime visits, we pick this up. We put in a lot of money into projects within communities, but most of these projects are not sustainable. And so it's actually money that is just going down the drain. And I think, again, if it's an integrated approach and feasibility studies are done, then we might also be able to address this issue of unemployment and trying to address
thank you. Thank you, a concern that one has identified on different the topic. There was the applicant in current offices about getting assistance from or getting attendance from the employees. What is the government department doing in sort of making follow-up on the performance of their staff members with regards to the master of health?
Thank you for that question. I think the first thing that I
just have one question for social development. In order to get access to grants, people need to have an IHO. And what is the department doing about child-headed households where the oldest child is less than 16 years old? So this is an emerging crisis, and these children can't get access to grants.
Thank you.
Just a quick one before I ask. It's about, you know, the field of accessibility. Coming out we keep on getting complaints from people on the ground that they go to the clinic and the clinic says, I'm happy to go to the hospital or the shelter, so they've got to be at the clinic and they put up some stuff like that. So what should we have?
Do you have a question? That is love. Or sorry, it's for the TV.
I have a couple of questions for both, but they are not for proper development.
Where do you package that if you are not playing? But
I have no, I have them separately, but it's one on proper development, whether strategy exists in managing the number. I think that there are difficult disabilities, pensioners, newborn, and unemployed, while there may be other people also calling the pensioners, I would say, mentioning disabilities, and so on. There may be others. But is there a strategy to manage that particular thing. There are people that, as a result of other reasons, should get out of it. And there are new people that are always coming to you. Is there a balance sheet of some kind around the exit and the entrance? The second question is, in the future, as the numbers are increasing and there are all these other issues that have been mentioned as a consequence of this need, is there a plan that the department has in existing, this system? If it should happen that at some point it was stopped, what strategy does the department have in that area? Because if you stop it today, you see them at all. You have to do it tomorrow. That's on the social development. Then on the health, the same plan. The National Health Insurance Plan, I have friends who are in this professional. Some of them DC, some of them specialists, orthopedic surgeons, and many of them are in the private sector. They raise all the time unhappiness with this. Some of them are threatening to be the country takes better off of the to what extent has this impacted, or will this impact on the insurance plan? The second question is the issue of the service, the quantity and the quantity. You make reference to the quantity of service, but the quantities are also a problem in respect to availability of medicine in the clinic and all that. That it is also a problem that needs to be integrated for this part of the service, the quantity of service. On the emphasis on HIV and AIDS, my question is, is HIV and AIDS more dangerous than the rest of the others? We are aware that malaria is 50-50. We are aware that cancer is curable. And we can go on and on. Why is it that more emphasis is given on HIV/AIDS than it is given on all these other dangerous diseases? The role of municipalities, it looks like the role of municipalities is very, very minimal. And my view is that the need for help is actually by the local people. People who need help are local people. Maybe let me put this view and give them for now.
I have one question, and it also relates to the idea. Some years ago, 6-7 years ago, one of the biggest problems to the children accessing the grant was to get ID. And I think I'd like to ask whether that number has now started to reduce, whether there's a better working relationship in order to get that offer.
Okay, just one question. Is it, I just wanted to elaborate that yes, this case that is a pensioner and has got a partner who's still within the cover, becoming a family
culture is all taking play out. Because it's important for what is expected.
Jacob on the role of mentality, so I actually want to ask your guidance here, and it's related to my question. I feel that we are not here today or tomorrow to do a total oversight of the department, but we are here as our service delivery by municipalities and how the department relate to it. But now we're also sit with a problem that a lot of people come to municipalities and they think they must deliver their primary health care, for instance, which is not their mandate perhaps in that municipality, and they want that service delivery. So we sit with a problem here. We must ask these departments, you know, without service delivery, but on the other hand, I think we must concentrate on the role of municipalities. And I don't know if you have fear views on this, on how we approach this, because I mean, I've got a problem with some of the questions. I would say only 10% of the questions that we are not here to do the monitoring of these departments at that for the portfolio committee. So my question also that I want to ask is about the unfunded mandate from all municipalities from these two departments. We expect primary health care in certain instances, especially from the district municipalities, but do they have funding for that act? And on the other hand, to have a social department, but what do we expect from it?
I want to know what is the development I can ask to the state, because we are still talking about the social work. The last contribution, I want to know the early child development, especially for the disabled, because I think it comes across to the, also to the education, but this one I'm relating it to the social work. I want to know what is that they are doing, especially about the disabled, because when they go to school this time, they can't even speak. So I want to know, they're trying to teach them their sign language when they are already old. Somebody will stay a long time learning this language. I want to know what is the department is assisting. Thank you.
Why don't we still have, is it still house in your department? So that story about the number, is to that story. We perceive as the Committee on Cooperative Government and so on, some reflection on the impact of urbanization, migration, and those kind of things. So, in speaking about sensitive human issues, I would like to hear you reflect upon those issues, but also especially because the related question about those people who are not South African, documented and undocumented. When you speak about sensitive human related issues, so your partner play a critical role on it. I mean, like the relationship between our countries, with what governments say about the type of changes that people require for municipality, because of neighboring, across boundaries, the management of the roads issues. I see an often great conflict on the ground. Right at the beginning of this year, I referred to the question of the first time. And we just had a major disaster in Haiti. And one of the things that people say was worse and unparalleled in the Haiti case is the state in which that country was before the earthquake. So the, are there conditions in your assessment of the built environment that are increasing the vulnerability of communities and therefore would make your life, both the social development and health, much more terrible than it would otherwise be, therefore requiring certain preventative steps to prevent the levels of devastation that occur when such things happen. In your report, quickly brief, you're going to try and get hold of the last presentation with evening lunch, but just try and focus on those that you think would serve the people of today.
Thank you.
There was
a couple of questions on the issue. You started to talk about the immigration and question about unfunded mandates of municipalities and strategies of municipalities. A certain thing that we model for social development works within municipalities, but the actual services, I think that my mom said, seriously delivered by NGOs. So we make transfer to institutions, and that's particularly in the potential for welfare environment, including disability. So we fund protected workshops, we fund organizations assisting people with disabilities. We fund organizations. My challenge today is on the NEE side, but actually there's significant reach through them. And a part of our budget, particularly from the province side, go through in general. The challenge still is that we need to get to a system where there's a particular coordinated approach to social development at the municipality level, so the actual municipality. Now, some of the bigger neighborhoods have this capacity, Johannesburg, to protect us. In fact, we embarked on a pilot project with the city of Johannesburg to look at how do we work together and make sure that we, like I said, we use the databases around poverty issues of babies and sort of think out in the ghetto health department services to them. And that's working while we're using technology. There's a system called NESIS that we developed for the war on poverty, the war on women poverty, that we're able to track what services people need and can make referrals to other departments to push up a platform. And that pilot is working well. But we, you know, in the richer, bigger municipalities, metros that can work. In the smaller ones, we have a significant challenge. And we go to some of the municipalities in the situation, for example. And then you've got 5 or 6 social workers sitting in what I would call more teachers. And so that comes to our customer care strategy that another member asked. What are we doing about that? We're actually engaging with provinces, we're using local, we've developed a customer care strategy where we're going to have to train people on what we need out of them in terms of delivering quality services. But that is beyond just training people. We need to get the capacity in place. We need proper officers, we need proper back office support, we need proper skills. So you're not going to change the environment if you're fully prepared, fully skilled, people working in a very poor environment. And we're quite honest about at many local level institutions, exactly what we find. The situation is different to South Africa. We still find some of that in the offices, but we are able to change that. The challenge is cost. The cost of what we call social infrastructure is enormous. We've estimated it over the next 20 years. We asked for anything that, but we can only do that over a 20-year period given the projections and the kind of budgets available. There's many people in South Africa that never had a history of government. We seem to ignore that. And scaling up, for example, in the social grants, we're talking about 2 million in 1992, so 13 million gives you an indication of the scale of service delivery that has changed dramatically. And it comes to a question that the colleague asked about, do we want to the exit strategy? And it's something that the devil does. Our mandate is to provide cash transfers to those who need them in terms of the constitution. The secondary mandate about granting important development difficult. We have a project about linking people with access to grants to community development projects and economic opportunities, but we don't use the word exit or ramp or. What we're instead saying is what do we need to put in place to ensure ensure that over a period of time, the demand for social grants decreases. And the demand for social grants is only going to decrease when the economy picks up, when more people are employed, and when more people don't qualify. And I think that's going to be, when more people don't qualify for grants, that's going to be the issue. And that's a whole different discussion. And we tend not to ask that with the economic sector department. We tend to ask that ourselves. And our point is actually that is the question we should be asking to the economic sector department. What are you going to be doing to ensure that over the next 20, 30 years we have huge aspects of people involved in accessing decent work? And those are the discussions we, this committee may want to tackle for us at level. So managing the numbers for us is not that we want bigger numbers. It's a reflection of the reality out there. It's a reflection of people applying and qualifying. In terms of identification, ID documents, we do have a regulation provision for people with alternative ID, the court case we lost. So if they have what alternative ID is when they have affidavits from their priest, etc., that says that they are legitimate residents of South Africa, they will be qualified for the grant. And just very lastly, in terms of the childhood household, children with head households are deemed as caregivers if they're 15 years and over. 16 years and over. So, but it also begins to, it's not an easy environment because the definition of whether they are indeed a head of their household is something that, like, but the regulations does make a provision for that.
Thank you. I'll take the description on the clinic services and the shunting of patients to the hospitals and clinics. That's the role of the municipalities to together. In the National Health Act, the Act states that nationals are responsible for the policy, status, and norms. Provinces are responsible for the bulk of opt out services, so hospitals, emergency medical services. Municipalities are responsible for what's defined as municipal health services. Okay, this is also the Municipal Structures Act. Municipal health services is defined as mainly the preventive health services or environmental health services. So that's why you find in certain of the municipalities that the services that are given are mainly things like immunization, antenatal care, so preventive services. But you don't find too many curative services. And that's something that we're trying to address so that we can provide comprehensive health services. Because the mother is sick, and the child needs immunization, let the clinic take care of the cold or the flu as well as provide the immunization. So the idea would be to have the one-stop center. Rather than the person having to go to preventive health services, municipality, and then go and find a community health center in the province to take care of the other needs. And that's the approach. So, you know, we try to get the services to the lowest level as possible. But in the Act, we've also said that if services are going to be dedicated those times, then you have the municipalities that will have to be done in terms of the constitution, so that funds will go with that. But the Act also states that at the time of the implementation of the National Health Act, whatever services are being rendered by the municipality are deemed to continue to be rendered by the municipality. So the issue around unfunded mandates, I'm not certain where that has come from, perhaps we can have a discussion. But there are certain sort of legal obligations that need to meet. But that's also part of the reason as to why we're saying, because we don't have comprehensive services in municipalities, that the provinces need to look at setting up those comprehensive services so that we don't get that shunting between clinics and hospitals and back and forth. Again, and that patient will see, get the sense of focus. The other question around national health insurance, Maybe you'll see that national health insurance is one point of the 10-point plan, but every other aspect of the 10-point plan is extremely important for the implementation of NHI. Because, and the minister stated, you can't have NHI if you haven't overhauled the public health system and the quality of health services. So you need to see all of the other aspects as NHI. And as I indicated, that there isn't a serious advisory committee that we can look at the policy framework, and then of course, as the implementation is taking place, it will have to talk to the service plan. Because it will be an important component. There's very much in the early stages, and I know most people get worried, but I think you just need to reassure your colleagues who are doctors that not to worry, because everyone's going to be participating. There will be a consultation, in fact, the implementation and overhauling the public health system is going to have beneficial impact on everyone. The issue around the question of stockouts and medicines and quantity of services, again, that's also been addressed. We're looking at a drug management system, where we started with the implementation of the drug supply management system, and we very carefully try to monitor stockouts. So our district health information system will tell us what our stockouts are, but we know there's challenges, we know there's resource constraints, but that's very definitely in the plan for the community to address it, and we've got targets to say, for the essential drugs, no stockouts, etc., etc. So, and for everything that is ARV. And this issue around the emphasis on HIV and AIDS, and is it more dangerous? I don't have the slide here, but I've got it on my computer. When you look at the burden of disease and our mortality, a third of the deaths was due to HIV and AIDS. And in fact, it may be a lot more because doctors don't necessarily say a person died from HIV and AIDS for various reasons. They will give other diagnoses. But it's not to say that we're saying that HIV and AIDS is a major challenge, needs to be addressed, but we're not saying that the others are not important, because we take a comprehensive approach to health. You can't say you're going to treat this particular disease, but not that one. Because it doesn't work that way. So we've stated that the non-communicable diseases are extremely important, but it's a burden in our society, which is diabetes, hypertension, the cancers. The other communicable diseases, malaria is a huge priority for us. So is TB. And so we take the approach that we look at in all of the diseases. Again, what's important related to the cross-boundary flows of mortality is that health and ill health knows no boundaries. Because this is not just good for the country, but internationally, because we know that global health problems, for example, the infectious diseases travel. They don't look at boundaries in the psychiatric hospital boundaries. So that's why you need to take that comprehensive approach. It will have impact on the rest of the population. You've mentioned that cancer is not curable, but there's many cancers that you can cure, with effective treatment. So again, that's why we ensure that we cover everything.
Thank you very much. Your response about NHI is very diplomatic. The other way of putting it is that when people first saw the thing, one of the girls said, "This is a monstrosity. In fact, in forward, in children, men, to travel at this speed, you get pregnant. You can't allow this. Faster than a horse." So every good policy process often has had partners in the future. That's another way to respond to that question about NHI. you are right, there will be consultation with you, but there will still be people who are like to say, so we must deal with real stuff. So it's important to point it out. Madam, I know your delegation from Saudi. We appreciate that you were on time. I'm going to request your indulgence that we go to lunch and 10 a.m. Okay? Let's go to lunch now so that we are back here at 22 please, so that you can make it. The second, just an announcement. Yesterday, Dorman negotiated a deal that is a branch instead of Tina as promised. Unfortunately, your request has not been successful. The whole place is booked, chock a block, so we have to have money. Yes. So let's break for lunch. I think we had a quite a change there. Thank you.
If I may ask you why they go out, they can, where they left, they can fall. They can,
What about it?
We don't have them.